Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Okay, I have two brothers in the house. Not my brothers, everybody's brother, because they are indeed Franciscan friars. And let me start with Brother Eunan MacMullan, who is from Armagh. And Brother Eunan, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you very much indeed.
Tell us a little bit about the Franciscans, and the first question I would like to ask you is, Franciscans have always had a tremendous reputation, we used to think in growing up in the west of Ireland that the Franciscans actually, that they what we saw of Franciscans were that they conducted missions around mm-hmm. Ireland.
Yes.
And in each case, as the story goes, and this is obviously tongue-in-cheek, mm-hmm. you had one very nice mm-hmm. missioner, mm-hmm. and then you had one that indeed was there mm-hmm. to put the fear of God into the whole job lot mm-hmm. of us, mm-hmm. you know. And we would we'd spend the first week of mission trying mm-hmm. to figure out who was who. Mm-hmm. And that was then. But tell us a little bit about particularly now. Do you have a leg up now that Pope Francis mm-hmm. has indeed come on board and is in the process of changing a lot of customs mm-hmm. Within the church? Many indeed would think that he is broadening the whole area of both clerical and, in particular, the role of clergy.
Well, can I start then with you started with the reference to the missions, and my experience was the same, but we had the Redemptorists in the north, not the Franciscans, so I didn't
and
have
they
that
were,
experience.
And they were actually tougher.
Mm-hmm. So we actually, strangely enough, we visited Ireland. It was in St. Patrick's Week of this year, and we arrived on the very day when Pope Francis was elected. We came down from the airplane, we landed in Eglinton Airport, and Alessandra was there to present the awards, the John Paul II awards, to the young people there, along with the now Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin. And we arrived at the cathedral, and the bells were ringing, and we entered inside, and we were amazed when we heard the name of the new Pope, Francis.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, and the UTV cameramen couldn't believe their luck, that two Franciscans had arrived exactly at that point.
At that point, indeed.
So we had to do almost immediately an interview on the Pope and why he had taken that name. Obviously, we were overjoyed with news.
Right.
And it really reflected our own mission, because we have left from Assisi on this really worldwide mission, and we're spreading the same message as Francis, the word of the gospel, through music, just the way he did, because he composed, mm-hmm. taught his friars to sing, and spread the word. And we're spreading it as the friars did from the very start, two by two. So that's why we're here together. So,
introduce mm-hmm. for us, mm-hmm. please. Mm-hmm. Friar Alessandro?
Yes. Alessandro is here with me. He's a friar really from Umbria. Until last year, he had never been on a plane, so he very rarely got out of Umbria. But he was discovered by an English agent, the agent of Mike Hedges, the famous record producer, introduced to Decca, and is now considered the successor to the Italian tenors.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm very pleased to stay here.
And let me ask you, how long have you been, brother, how long have you been in the Franciscan Order?
I joined the order when I was 21 in 1999, and so a lot of years ago now.
Now, you didn't join as a singer. You joined...
Yes, I was a student of music. I studied organ and composition, and then I began also to study singing, voice.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first diploma in the conservatory, I joined the order. So I continued to study music inside the order, and then I finished my studies during my spiritual journey in the order when I was a friar.
Now, when you say music and singing, was it classical music?
Yes. I love so much all music, all the kinds of music.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, all the beautiful music is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But my voice and my personality is more classical. And so for this reason, I studied organ and composition because I love Bach's music, of Johann Sebastian Bach. And my voice is on... A classical voice is opera voice, and so for this reason I was focused on the opera repertoire.
Now, I haven't heard it yet, but we will all be listening to it together right after this interview. But this is your second CD, and indeed. It is your first major international recording with Decca, the world. Or did Decca have anything to do with the first one?
Yes, we have made both with Decca, the first and the second one. And but the second is different because we know each other now.
Mm-hmm.
They know my voice. I know the way that they want to record and the repertoire we have decided together. And it is a wonderful experience, of course.
Well, first of all, you're very welcome. And I want to come back to you, brother, Ewan McMullen.
Mm-hmm.
You have indeed your bread and buttered, born and raised in Armagh.
Yes.
So what, how did you become attracted to, or how did you, become a friar?
Mm-hmm.
At what,
well,
at
I
what
came,
point?
I came to Assisi first as a tourist, and I say that you still feel the presence of St. Francis there. And that seed was implanted in me, and I came back in 2003 to ask, could I enter as a friar? And it's strange that the place where I am now, the San Damiano, is the place where the novitiate starts. It's the place that struck me when I was first there as a tourist. But I would never have imagined actually living there. And that's what attracts me, the spirit of St. Francis, which you still feel palpably in those places. And it's a coincidence, you could say, but when I left my employment, I joined on the 3rd of January 2004, and I joined on the very day of my baptism 44 years previously.
Mm-hmm.
44 is the age of St. Francis when he died, and it's also the feast day of the Holy Name of Jesus, so it was a special Franciscan feast day. And it seemed to confirm me in the vocation. And my hometown of Lurgan, as you probably know,
in
Gaelic
yes.
means a little strip or a little portion of land.
Yeah. Where we stayed this summer when we went up to Northern Ireland to not only broadcast live, but also to conduct a lot of interviews, many of which we still have to air. But a great and a lovely area.
Yes, and that translation is actually just means in Italian would be Pozzuncola, which is the priory where we both live together, myself and Alessandro. So I just transferred from one porciuncula to another.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Now, where was the priory, where was the order in Northern Ireland, or was there...
No, I was never a friar in the Irish province. I'm an Italian friar, despite the brogue.
Right.
But I'm an Irish man.
Yes.
My previous life, as it were, was as a lawyer. I'm a barrister by profession.
Okay.
And that's one of the things you could say that is the providence in this particular mission, because Alessandro, when he was approached by Decca Records, obviously there was a recording contract, which is a difficult thing in which to advise under English law. And where would you find a common law lawyer in Italy who could speak your language and who was trusted by the order themselves?
Right.
In the friary next door, as it were, because we live just 4 kilometers one from the other. We have 2 friaries in Assisi.
Now, going back to Lurgan, going back to your life as a barrister, as a lawyer, you obviously were and grew up in an atmosphere of the, as we refer to it, as the Troubles.
Oh yes, very
in
much
Ireland, and you were actually a lawyer before and after the Good Friday Agreement.
Yes.
How did, as a barrister, were you involved to any degree in either representing or using your expertise in the what we now refer to as the peace process?
Well, I was. I worked for 11 years as a lawyer for the Fair Employment Commission, which dealt with the religious and political discrimination. Subsequently became the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland.
Right. Yeah.
So I worked for that. I was the advocate there. I wrote the book on how to do the cases, how to present the cases. I presented the cases myself in religious, political, sex and race discrimination. And then as...
Were you an army of one, you know, at the time? Now when you look back at it, I should have... Indeed, because you come across as not just another lawyer or another barrister, but actually you had, you know, a prominent role in cases, in presenting cases, in
yes, both in
developing the structure,
developing the law, because at the time when I joined the Fair Employment Commission, there was new legislation which just came into being. That was in the early 1990s, and that was very significant in redressing the balance in employment in Northern Ireland. And as I said, I worked there for 11 years. I then went on to become Director of Legal Services in the Police Ombudsman's Office, which is a very controversial office.
Yes, indeed. And that was under Nuala?
Yes, I was Nuala O'Loan's legal advisor.
Okay.
So she took her advice from me. I was there just for 2.5 years, but it was a very eventful time. It was the time when the OMA report came out. I was the signatory to the letter that was written to the chief constable's advisor at the time to say that we were going to publish this report, and was responsible for defending the 20 or so judicial review cases that subsequently occurred. I left the office after 2.5 years. I think they gave me a year sabbatical because we hadn't lost any of the cases.
Yeah. And in that year sabbatical, what did you do and where did that lead you to?
Well, that's when I joined as a postulant, as I've already said, on the 3rd of January 2004. And I remained there, finished my postulancy, and then I went back to Belfast to say that I wanted to remain to do my novitiate in San Damiano, the friary where I am now. This is the church that St. Francis rebuilt.
Yeah.
It's very significant because really that's, we said when Pope Francis took his name, he was really saying that he wanted to rebuild the church and also to have a missionary church. So myself, who at San Damiano, the mm-hmm. church that Francis rebuilt, and Alessandro, who's at the Portiuncolo, where the missions left from and still do today, because we obviously have the blessing of our order to partner with the Portiuncolo to go out and go appear on this mission.
Now, St. Francis, the singer, the lover of music, the musician, somehow that escaped some of us. Tell us about Francis, the...
Francis was a lover of music from the very start. He sang in the language of his mother, the Provençal language. He was known, for example, to even make music, pretending to play with sticks, the violin, as it were. He composed the Canticle of Brother Son, a song that Alessandro also sang on his first album, Voice from Assisi, which, by the way, was a Beck album, which was the top of the UK classical charts in the UK. It was nominated for the best album of the year, the best classical album of the year, along with Bocelli. Oh, yes, it's an amazing story. He's surpassed a number of records for a gold disc in Italy. He's a well-known star in France. But this is the first time in the USA, so people, he's actually happy because people don't even recognize him here.
Well, he's in the right spot, mm-hmm. And definitely a Christmas album. I want to go back to you, Brother. We are going to listen to, and I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be very much, we'll take some tracks in there. But... you normally sing with musicians, with the background, obviously. With what is your, what's the makeup of, excuse the expression, what's the band like?
I'm used to sing with musicians, and I wanted to spread the way of the natural music. So I don't like to have a background, a base, pre-recorded before. Sometimes it's necessary for programs, for example, you know, on TV or in other situations, but I'm used to have or a pianist, organist, or some orchestra, strings, quartets, and so different ways to accompany music. Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, we don't have any such luxuries around here. I think there's a keyboard somewhere, but there'll be dust on it by now. It only comes out around St. Patrick's Day. But could we ask you just to sing something, a cappella?
Oh, okay.
Whatever comes to mind.
There is a track on the new album that is mm-hmm. the last one, and I think is the most beautiful way to finish an album is a Gaelic Blessing.
A Gaelic Blessing.
Of John Rutter. It is a wonderful track. I just want to sing it for you as a blessing for everybody that is listening to this transmission now. And it's Gaelic Blessing.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you.
It is fantastic. Let me ask you about some of the songs that you that appear on this one. We recognize some of them from Adeste Fideles, from Joy to the World, Silent Night, or O Holy Night, rather. For you, whether those songs are in Italian or in English, are there, to you, does one come more naturally to you than the other?
About the languages in this album, there are seven languages. And so, for me, it was a challenge in a certain way, because it was necessary for me to learn the pronunciation and different pronunciations. And I had some teachers for this reason during the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Latin is the best language to sing.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, yes.
Let me ask you about growing up in Lurgan, growing up in Armagh.
Mm-hmm.
Was there music in your house? Did you come from a musical family? And if so, what kind of...
Yes, my uncle was actually a promoter of concerts.
Really?
He used to run concerts in the Lurgan Catholic Association. So we had the Dubliners there every year. As I can remember as a child, with people like Johnny McAvoy, the Miami Show Band. They would be...
Not a lot of classical music in that crowd.
But he was a lover of classical music. He much preferred, and I had, for example, to translate a postcard from him, from Pavarotti, to him, from the Italian, because he didn't understand Italian. He would have had James Johnston along. He loved the operatic singers. He was a great friend of different tenors. Plus, he'd with the Mingo, said he would come to him in that.
Was he a musician himself?
He wasn't a musician. He acted as a compere. He died in 2000. But he brought people, opera singers like Dennis O'Neill, who had his he was a Welsh tenor who had a series in the BBC. He brought him across to do the parish concert. So he knew people like Bing Crosby. He knew all the great singers of the time. I had, as a child, the Beatles contract in my hand for £165, but he turned them down.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not joking.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that's a good story in itself, in hindsight. You are, though, let me ask you about your New York and your connection here.
Mm-hmm.
You're meeting, and you're, well, first of all, you're staying in the Friary.
Yes.
Here. And is there music in the Friary? Somehow we...
Well, there's always music. Alessandro says, all friars sing.
Yeah.
I'm often asked, do I sing? What do I do? What do I play? Do I sing? And I said, we're a double act. He sings in order to draw in the crowds, and I would sing to chase them out.
No, you're being modest, obviously.
You haven't heard me sing.
Well, that's all right. Would you do just another little... bit of a song for us, so we can get just a feel, maybe for a song that we know, maybe one of the Christmas songs.
Okay.
All right, just so we will be able to, because you took me on the hop there with the Gaelic blessing, although it's a very nice rendition and piece, but just do a little something else for us. Pick any one from
here. Okay, I was singing Adeste Fideles.
Now you're talking. Okay.
Adeste fideles, leti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, rege angelus,
very much. I want to again compliment both of you. I know that you are Brother McMahon, that you're taking pretty much the role of your uncle. You're the promoter. We know that that all friars sing, and I'm sure you do too. But and it's good, and we do want to point out that with the vow of poverty, which mm-hmm. you and all the friars have, there's no personal gain, mm-hmm. you know, for you. But I think it does something in addition to, obviously, to somewhat in a very during rough times on both sides of the Atlantic and around the world, it's great to be able to contribute to the great work of the Friars in rather strained circumstances. But also, I think it's good for the image, and maybe I'm only among the few, but when we think of St. Francis, we don't think so much of him as a singer and a musician and whatever. We have this whole other image of a great...
But we're fortunate to have the early sources of St. Francis that were written at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been described, for example, by G.K. Chesterton as God's troubadour, le jongleur de Dieu. And that was always within him, this music, this love of joy. And we're really following that tradition.
Yeah.
Because the first album, The Voice from Assisi, was basically a message of peace. This one is called The Voice of Joy, and that's the message that we want to spread.
When you returned to Ireland, when you came back to Armagh, having had such a very high profile, you know, as a barrister, as a lawyer, as indeed somebody who was not just on the periphery, but so highly involved in developing, you know, the strategy in that area with the Equality Commission. Were there those, say, in your own family, were people shocked that you chose to not only just enter the religious life, but again enter, you know, in Assisi, and with indeed with the amount of conviction that takes.
It obviously was a leap of faith into the dark, because I didn't know the friars in Assisi when I went to join them. I was leaving behind a successful career.
Very successful.
Because
career,
it wasn't the case, because they gave me the career break because of the success, and they actually extended my career break to the maximum. I remained nominally Director of Legal Services for a period of about 3 years because they wanted me back. But I think it was funny, the reactions of some of my legal friends. One of them said, you weren't ever afraid to go against the current. My mother said, well, if you want to pray, why don't you pray in Ireland? So it was a bit of a shock to her.
Yeah.
But leaving Ireland has always been the sacrifice that Irish missionaries make. You go abroad, you leave behind what is most dear to you. And that really is the sacrifice that I think that all missionaries make. But I thought the funniest, and I'll finish with this, was a friend I have in Belgium, who obviously knew me quite well. Her reaction was, but the friars, do they know what they're taking on?
Well, so far, you're on the right track. I want to again welcome both of you, and I know that... that this is great and you're doing great work. And again, I do need now, Brother McMullen, to take back what I had, how I started the program in terms of branding the Franciscans as the missioners who came from Limerick in my early days, actually. It wasn't the Franciscans, it was the Redemptorists, as you had pointed out. So there you are. So now I don't even have a grievance. But thank you. Thanks for being here. And lots of luck to you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.